This is the post-game podcast on the Blood Red channel, bringing you all the big match reaction with views from the press box, the dugout and the stands.
Hello everyone and welcome along to the Liverpool Echoes post-game podcast with me, Patrick Smith, after Liverpool cruised to a 3-0 victory against Aston Villa at Anfield thanks to goals from Dominic Szoboszlai, a Matty Cash own goal and Mohamed Salah's second half effort. Up to third in the league with 10 points from a tricky first four matches, even the most optimistic of Liverpool fans couldn't have seen this brilliant start to the campaign coming. Let's get straight into the reaction with Liverpool Echo's Paul Gorse from the Anfield press box, followed by Jurgen Klopp's press conference and then the view from the Kop with some LFC fan reaction.
The post-game podcast on the Blood Red channel.
Liverpool made it 10 points from an opening 12 in the Premier League this season with a 3-0 win here at a sun-drenched Anfield against Aston Villa this afternoon. Matty Cash's own goal was sandwiched in between strikes from Dominic Szoboszlai and Mohamed Salah as the Reds secured what was a surprisingly routine victory here against the Villans, who caused so many problems on their most recent visit back in May. But I suppose most of that difference in results and performance is down to what is a new-look Liverpool midfield. Alexis McAllister starting at the base of the midfield in the absence of Vatari, and it was outstanding, but perhaps the game's best midfielder was Szoboszlai, who opened his account in stunning style inside the first 10 minutes with a left-footed half-volley that flew into the corner after a partially cleared corner. The number 8 built on what has been an excellent showing in the early days of his Liverpool career with another outstanding performance, and he really does look like one of the buyers of the summer, doesn't he, already at $60 million from RB Leipzig. Trent Alexander-Arnold in possession of the captain's armband in the absence of suspended Virgil van Dijk. He was the game's best player, man of the match by pretty much everyone who watched this game today. The right back was outstanding, doing his usual hybrid midfielder position, and some of his passing was sumptuous at times, and the way he drove forward with the ball in possession at his feet was something of a new facet to his game that we've seen in recent months, and he was excellent before he was brought off with a minor hamstring injury. The right back slash midfielder now looks like he could be absent for England's upcoming games, but that won't be too much of an issue for Liverpool, you'd imagine. Hopefully he gets much rest in the next couple of weeks and is back for that visit to Wolves later this month. Darwin Nunez started after his two-goal showing at Newcastle last week, and he was a hive of activity and on another day could have had a hat-trick. He hit the post, which bounced back to Cash, who put through his own net to make it 2-0. He was also very unlucky when he chipped Emi Martinez and hit the crossbar in the first half and was just a whisker away from fully connecting with a Mo Salah cross in the second half to score at 2-0. But despite his inability to get on the score sheet, this was further evidence that his second season is going to be a memorable one after that game-changing intervention at Newcastle last week. So all in all, you have to say it was a great day at the office for Liverpool, who navigated this one with minimum fuss. It could have been a lot trickier, as we say. An amazing Villa team under Unai Emery have got Europa League football to look forward to this season, and the Reds made short work of them today. So a really good performance of Liverpool, up to third now in the Premier League with 10 points from 12, and it looks to be so far so good after what has been, well, a really indifferent 12 months, shall we say. But Liverpool now unbeaten in 15 in total, dating back to April, and of course extending the unbeaten run to 4 this season. 10 points from 12 is a really solid start and gives Liverpool plenty of momentum to come back to after the international break at Molineux later this month. Finished here at Anfield, Liverpool 3, Aston Villa 0.
The post-game podcast on the Blood Red channel.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Afternoon, everyone. Wants to kick us off? James?
Yeah, both without alcohol, you must have been delighted about Absolutely, absolutely. It was a top game. Best for a while, long time. Don't know when, but last time, but that convincing. And we had a few good games, obviously, you know, especially on the end of the last season and these kind of things. But it was really good, and you're right, in both departments, offensively like defensively. You cannot do one step less against this Aston Villa team, I think, then you struggle immediately. But the early goal might have helped, I'm not sure, but because we don't know how the game would have looked without scoring, but we looked really, really good. The mix in possession between control and direction was close to perfect. That's how it felt. We could use the formation today properly. Everybody wanted the ball, or protected, or whatever, or showed, or offered. So it was a top game. Cannot say it differently. I don't know when I can say it the next time, but for today, it was as good as could be, because the opponent is extremely strong, and we didn't let that happen today, and that's a massive compliment to my boys.
First clean sheet of the season. So with Joe Gomez, the way that he stepped up today.
Yes, both centre half played an exceptional game with different jobs, to be honest. Diaby in this hiding in midfield on a 9.5-10 position, and so Joey had to step in there, leaves Joel in a 1-1 with Ollie Watkins. As much as I love Joel, I think we know that Ollie Watkins might be a bit quicker than Joel, and that and he did that really, really well. The boys knew about that fact, so in front of them, so they were really in the situation, counter-pressing moments, until the 2-0 was outstanding. Then, because of the intensity of the way we played, stuff like this, you could see the front line settled slightly higher. That is human, but not helpful in this moment, so we were not exactly, didn't have this exactly the same grip. Yeah, but top performance really from Joey. I'm really pleased for him. I'm really pleased for him that he could, against Newcastle, it was, by the way, like that already, to be honest, when he came on. It looked really like that. And yeah, it's very helpful when you have strong centre halves. But if you leave them alone, then the pitch is too big to defend. And so today we were really together, really compact. The commitment was top class, and that's why we played the way we played.
Chris?
I didn't realize a little bit of a distraction during the whole week, besides answering questions about it, but not from people inside, just from people outside. So I have no clue. Nobody came to me and told me something could happen or whatever on Friday, nothing. And I'm pretty sure I would have got a call, but I didn't. And Moore didn't look for a second like he thought about anything else than about Aston Villa. And yes, being involved in all goals, I heard now 148th home game and 102nd goal or whatever. Is that possible? That's unbelievable numbers. But it's not a surprise that he has the numbers. And on chances on top, and involved in creating, and setting up, and all these kind of things. He's a world-class player, no doubt about that. And I'm really pleased he's in my team.
Dave?
I'm interested as well. I don't know exactly. I asked him. He said it's hamstring, but not too serious. It's his opinion, but we obviously have to wait for the scans. So, and then we will know more.
Dave,
yeah, just to close on Mo. I think Dominic said after the game, he's told the players he wants to stay. He will definitely stay, and I presume he's told you that as well.
No, he didn't tell me, but he didn't have to. He speaks with training performances, with behavior. We had meetings this week, and the meeting were not about what we did in the past. It was about what we will do in the future. Mo was with the players' committee, and Mo had his moments where he was talking and there was nothing about, by the way, it's only until next week or whatever, and then my future's end. He's completely here. He's completely here. And if Dom said that, fine. Mo doesn't have to come in my office and tell me, by the way, boss, I go. But for me, it was not a subject for 1 second, to be honest, besides your question. Left and right of it, nothing. Oh, fine.
But I mean, he looked today, he's getting a really great understanding of Darwin as well, which is another great development for the team.
But that was pretty much from the start like this. The two sprinters, they know where, and want to know where the other one is. So this, and I'm pretty sure Mo before the game told Darwin as well, if the ball comes high, please deflect it. I'm on my bike. The partnership was really good. I like the lineup today, to be honest. it's a bit of a problem in my job that we make lineups before we know it will work out, but it worked out pretty well. And really happy for Darwin as well. The performance was exceptional. We should not forget, because now it was an own goal or whatever, but there were moments when, rightly so, the whole stadium was like, oh my God, there's still a chance to get the ball. Eh? So, I think 60-odd, 5 whatever minutes was all right for the three boys. Curtis came back, and the other two gave their absolute all. Eh? So, and having then the options on the bench is then helpful as well. I thought Harvey is so close. Jogo and Cody anyway. And then really nice as well, Wataru coming on. I think everybody could see that really we worked hard on it, that he arrives in better moments in the challenges, and he was there, he was aggressive, he won balls, he passed the ball. It's really, this was the day, besides Trent's hamstring, was a perfect afternoon. Atmosphere, weather, my God. Early, still 4:45, whatever. So, I cannot imagine a better Sunday.
Andy, then Paul, then that's it. Andy.
You can just ask you on Szoboszlai's performance. It wasn't just a top class finish the whole game.
He's a machine, eh?
He settled in straight away.
He did. Yeah, true. That's now all 4 games, eh? Pretty impressive. Absolutely impressive. Tactically smart, absolutely ready for the dirty part of the game. I mean, really hard work, really. Where it's not the fancy stuff, where they're shooting, crossing, running forward, stuff like this. No, he's really closing down opponents. So important how Kurt and Dom defended the half spaces next to Darwin. Super important. And what a goal. I saw it directly from behind. That was the cleanest strike I saw for a long time. It's the slightly lesser good foot. So that was, again, a top performance, right?
Paul, last one.
Because the Saudi window is still open until Thursday, do you think the club's position stays the same regardless
yep.
of...
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. See you.
The post-game podcast on the Blood Red Channel.
Steve Dawson on Liverpool's 3-0 win against Aston Villa. Again, very satisfactory. Good start to the season. There's no getting away from it. We're right up there in amongst it. Still not convinced we're going to win the league, not at this stage. I think we have depth. It's a strange thing, isn't it? I mean, if you look at the transfer window, midfielders essentially 4 in, 4 out, and across the board, certainly there's an upgrade, I think. You know, we've certainly improved in terms of the package we've got of individual personnel, but in terms of a unit, what we're lacking is a dedicated, experienced, world-class number 6. There's certainly players who can fill that role. Bajcetic, Endo, will Thiago come back and sort of be redesigned to close out his career in that position? And if he does he have the health, the injury, the lack of injuries to accommodate that role? Will we continue to play McAllister in that role? Who will take this position on a permanent basis, or will it be, as I suspect is likely to be the case, a combination of all of those different options? But, you know, although that combination looks fairly fruitful, you're looking for stability. You're looking for somebody who can do the job on a long-term basis. And maybe another variable that can be thrown in there is that we purchase somebody in the January transfer window who's more suited, because it certainly looks as if Gravenberch is a number eight. But again, you know, maybe he can be redesigned. It's happened in Liverpool's history before. First one I was aware of was Ray Kennedy being transformed from a centre forward to a midfielder back in the 70s. So, you know, it's happened. It could happen again. Watch this one in Carragher's, New York. So forgive the lack of detailed analysis. Not so easy early in the morning with a big plate of eggs and bacon in front of me, but great to see a good turnout there. Lots of Liverpool fans, and everyone seems to be pretty positive and optimistic about the season to come. And if I'm not completely convinced that we've got the depth and the stability to win the league, I'm certainly confident that we're going to get Champions League placing come the end of the season. And I think that would very likely come in the form of second place, given what we've seen so far. And I know it's a small sample size. You also look optimistically at the Europa League, given the draw we've had and the competition that we have there. We should be favourites. Love what I've seen from Szoboszlai in the first few games here. McAllister clearly was an established Premier League player, and we knew what we were getting when we got him, and he's certainly living up to expectations. But this Hungarian captain looks as if he's really going to add something going forward. And it was a very well taken goal, wasn't it, on the half volley. Not so easy to keep down, but he clearly got that knee over the ball and drove it home. Really good to see. And yeah, this is a nice start to the season. I think that the international break has probably come at the right time for us. It'd be a good time to allow Konate to recover from his injury, allow the new signings to get more embedded in the Liverpool way, particularly Endo, I imagine, and Gravenberch as well, assuming they're not involved in international duty. Hate international breaks, but generally speaking, this one has come at a very good time for us. I'm very positive about what comes next. At Gulasahi on Twitter, Gulasahi.
Mike Holt from Go On The Match podcast with my review on Liverpool 3, Aston Villa 0. What a result. What a start to the season, to be fair. Four games in going into the international break, with obviously what we've got is three wins and a draw. You know, we've got some tough away games in there as well, being Chelsea and Newcastle. Obviously, people might say Chelsea isn't a tough away, but it is at the end of the day. They've obviously still got high quality players. Obviously on today, like, it was a funny game really, wasn't it? Because as much as we dominated, as much as we deserved a win by full throttle, from the first minute to the last, like, Villa, they were in and out of the game. I think their shape affected them a little bit. They didn't really want to press high, and by doing that, we were able to sort of play our way through the thirds quite nicely. And we just created an abundance of chances today. I think that's the main key point I would take away from today's game. We just created so many chances, and we did it well of, you know, keeping the back door closed at the same time. You know, we could have had fours and fives there really quite easy. But, you know, I'd have took a 3-0 all day long. You know, the Villa, you know, I know they didn't really turn up today, but they are a really strong squad. Emery's a good manager. You know, the game, I went to the game last season when we drew 1-1, and it was one of the most frustrating games of football I've ever had to sit and watch. So I'll take that today quite comfortably. The midfield's just a massive revamp. I mean, we all know it. It's, you know, I'm not telling anyone anything now that they don't already know, but that midfield's just so refreshing, so much energy, so much more creativity. It's a delight to watch. I'm not going to lie, I was a little bit hesitant of Matip and Gomez playing with each other at the back today, but like I said, I think they did well. I think Gomez had his best game for a very, very long time. I'm usually one of his critics, to be fair. I'm not a massive, massive fan of him, but he was superb today. Hand it to him. He had a great game against City last season. He's had a great game today. He just needs that consistency. He needs to, you know, not just come in and have a spell and play well, and then, you know, the next three games are dreadful. He needs to be consistent to be a Liverpool centre-half. So I was impressed with him. Just really, like, I don't think there's any negatives to take away today. Obviously, Trent went off injured. Hopefully that's okay. He's obviously got the international break now, so it wouldn't be bad if he just missed that altogether and had a nice long rest. Hopefully he's not too badly injured. And you just, you know, the players were bringing off the bench. You know, we've just got quality in that squad now. It just feels the numbers. You've obviously got Gravenberch coming back in as well into that midfield. It's just quality and in depth, and that's what we've all been crying for. I'm still a little bit worried at centre-half. I think we could have done something there in the window, but I won't let that take away from the result today. The start of the campaign, it's been really strong, really, just like really a breath of fresh air. You know, last season was just so demoralising. I didn't really know where we would end up this season going into it. Thursday night football, it was all a little bit bleak. But, you know, the start that we've had is really given me the personally like a big boost of confidence of what we can do this season. We just need to hit the ground running after the international break. It's probably come at the worst time for us, but Wolves is the next game. We just need to hit, you know, they've obviously lost today to Palace. Hit that ground running and then keep going. And, you know, when we get to see where we are in December at time, then we can sort of evaluate where we should be, what we should be doing in this season. So, no, absolutely delighted with Liverpool today. They really played like the Liverpool of old in a lot of aspects. Massive win, massive performance. Up the Reds.
Really big performance from Liverpool, I felt today at Anfield. And that was the biggest thing to come out of the game for me. Liverpool playing well. And I don't think that I've been able to say that over the course of 90 minutes for a while with Liverpool. And I felt that the confidence that that gave the players going into the international break, having picked up 10 of the first 12 points on offer, despite having two really difficult away fixtures and also playing the large majority of two out of the four fixtures with 10 men, I think Liverpool have got to be massively pleased with that. But I think it'll be big for Klopp today in terms of the performance, not just the results. Because all the things that we've seen at the back end of last year when Liverpool changed system, we've seen today against Aston Villa in what I felt would be a really difficult game before the start of kickoff. And there's numerous reasons for that, for me, and the reason that Liverpool played well. And I think the first one, I've got to mention it because I always think it's you've got to have a balanced view. It's Villa's approach. I felt it was, and it's really surprising from Unai Emery, but what Liverpool have really struggled with throughout this season is being able to build up from deeper positions under any organised pressure. And instead of adopting a sort of pressure high approach, Villa sort of sat into sort of like a mid-pressure zone where they were happy for Liverpool to have it deeper, and then they were trying to put some pressure on when it got into the midfield. And I felt it really built Liverpool's confidence because they've really struggled with that in recent weeks. And also for Aston Villa, unfortunately, playing such a high defensive line, which allowed Liverpool's players who have got great physicality to run in behind, I felt it was a bad mixture of a tactical setup from the opposition, which played into Liverpool's hands. But anyway, if we look at Liverpool and what they did really positively, I think the first thing I've noticed is the build-up of Liverpool. So I've come on the podcast for the last few weeks and said I've really been unhappy with how Liverpool have been able to, or not been able, to build up confidently in possession. And consistently I've felt the angles of the players to receive the balls have not been anywhere near good enough. The coaching to get out of this disorganised pressure from the opposition, I felt, has been lacking. There's been a lack of options for the man on the ball. But also, individual players have to take responsibility as well. And some of the technical level of Liverpool's players, again, has not allowed them to be able to progress the ball into deeper areas of the pitch. And an example of that, I suppose, would be Andy Robertson's performance in Newcastle last week, which I felt technically was way below the level to play for Liverpool. And even I'm his biggest fan, but Trent Alexander-Arnold, his choice of technical passes to be able to either speed the game up, slow it down, too many vertical passes, trying to play forward too early, which has totally destabilised Liverpool. Not just him, but other players in the side, but he's probably been the biggest culprit of it in his use of the ball. Is he such a fantastic player? And I must say, some of his passing range today and the ability to hit the opposition playing through round or over them was absolutely fantastic. It was a privilege to see some of the passes that he was able to to feed the higher players with. But it all has to be considered. It can't be that vertical pass all the time, because if you continually try and speed the game up and play forward too early, your team, unfortunately, are in a position where they're expanded on the pitch. And then if you are not able to technically execute that pass and it's not on and you play it, Liverpool are in massive problems, because ultimately they're going to be counter-attacked and not be able to gain any control over the game. And too often that's happened for me, for Liverpool, in the early weeks of the season. But that was massively improved today. And obviously Alexander-Arnold was a massive part of that. Robertson had a much better game, which he needed to after last week. But also I felt the two centre-backs played really well. And they're two centre-backs who have always been really valuable in possession. Matip with his ability to travel with the ball. And also Joe Gomez in particular, in the way he can break lines with his passes and really punch the ball into higher players in the team when he's playing at his best. And I felt, not only on a defensive level in terms of the both players' aggression to be able to win the ball back, but also the use of the ball really aided Liverpool in the build-up, and it was much improved. And one of the reasons it was much improved again was that Liverpool could actually adopt the system that they had employed for the back end of last season, which ultimately changed their season round, which was a 3-4-3 in possession and also immediately when the ball is turned over and Liverpool are looking to win the back the ball back higher. Which might sound simplistic, but Liverpool have not been able to deploy that shape so often so far in this Premier League season. Now, factored in, they've obviously been down to 10 men in two of the games, we know about that. But they've had two major problems, and the first one is they haven't been able to keep the ball well enough. And also, they haven't been able to put any organised pressure on the opposition. So ultimately, Liverpool have then had to sink back into a 4-3-3 shape, because if Alexander-Arnold can't win the ball back higher, because just to explain, obviously, I know people know, but the reason Alexander-Arnold is taking up that inside position when Liverpool are out of possession is Liverpool are looking to have an extra player in the centre of the park, higher on the pitch, to be able to apply more pressure and then ring-fence the opposition into their own half. Before Alexander-Arnold moved into that position, Liverpool were finding massive holes within the units of the team, because they were simply too spread. It was too wide on the field of play for them to be able to exert that pressure. So that's the thought process behind it. But Alexander-Arnold can't do that if Liverpool's organisation is not good enough. And if the opposition can play out easy enough, then Liverpool then sink back into a 4-3-3 shape. Trent Alexander-Arnold retreats to right back, and then Liverpool are defending in what you describe as a rest defence. If Liverpool don't have the ball, again, they're going to be in a rest defence because the opposition are going to be dominating the game. But that wasn't the case today. Liverpool were able to exert their will on the opposition. And what we know about the end of last season, when Liverpool changed the shape, is first of all, A, they had more possession of the ball because they had better angles for the players within the unit of the team to be able to get on the ball and keep it. And second of all, because they were more organised and they had Alexander-Arnold higher and they had more players higher to be able to win the ball back in an organised fashion, Liverpool were then able to win it back higher, earlier. And again, Liverpool then go on to dominate the ball, which is what happened at the back end of last year. And that was exactly the case today for Liverpool. So that was much improved. Now, one of the reasons for that, again, was that Liverpool were able to have that two-man deeper line midfield. And Alexis McAllister played in there with Trent Alexander-Arnold. And I mentioned a few weeks ago, really, that I felt that Alexis McAllister would be the player who'd play that role. Obviously, we know that he's played in the double deeper midfield role with Moises Caicedo at Brighton, and he's such a multifunctional and intelligent footballer that I actually think it's a debate whether his better position is a higher position or it actually is deeper in the build-up, such as the security that he gives you. And I felt he massively aided Liverpool again today. And going forward, I do believe that he's going to spend a lot of his time for Liverpool, especially in this early part when we look at the individuals within the squad playing in that deeper area, because he is the most suited to that. He understands the rhythm of the game in that deeper area to be able to get on the ball and have that security and be able to move it forward and ultimately drop into areas which he feels comfortable in. A lot of the other higher players in Liverpool's side, it doesn't look a correct fit for me. And I haven't seen Ryan Gravenberch play, but from what I understand is I suppose he would be more suited to playing in one of them higher areas with the likes of Szoboszlai, Elliot, Jones, them kind of higher two midfield positions, if you like. So that leaves Alexis McAllister, Alexander-Arnold, obviously, and Thiago, and by Chetich to occupy them spaces with Endo as well as a squad option. So I think there's positive signs in that this idea that people automatically assume, and I did say this the other week, but I just wanted to reiterate it with McAllister's performance today. And by the way, when I say this, this doesn't mean because Liverpool have beaten Aston Villa at home that Liverpool are fantastic and everything's solved. Of course not. But one thing I did mention is people's perception of what these deeper players have to be, a destructive player, they have to be physically magnificent, etc., etc., magnificent against the ball. If you have an organised team in all areas of the pitch, that does not have to be the characteristics of your deeper players. If we look at Manchester City, for example, in Rodri, we look at the greatest teams in Barcelona, in Busquets, these are not great physical athletes. These are not primarily their biggest traits being against the ball. Don't get me wrong, they were very intelligent, but that is not their elite quality. And it can be the same with Liverpool's players. I used the example of Michael Carrick and Paul Scholes playing as a two to win multiple, you know, Premier League titles. If you're a fantastic football and the organisation and the compactness and the unity of team against the ball are correct, then you can have the best of both worlds. You can be cutting off passing lanes because they're so intelligent to be able to win the ball back. But also when you get it, you can outplay teams and be of a technical level, which means you win ultimately win the amount of games you play. So I haven't got a problem with the makeup or the characteristics if a Thiago was to play in there with Alexander-Arnold or an Alexis McAllister spent more time in there. I think it's more than capable of doing it. But the caveat has to be that Liverpool have to be organised, and that comes from the coaching staff and the players being able to execute the game plan. So I felt it was really important. I know I'm running out of a little bit of time here, but I did just want to touch finally on Darwin Nunes. I talked last week about the threat that he could have if he got a regular run of games within Liverpool's side. Obviously, the Villa game suited him down to the ground in terms of their elevated line. But again, we know this player. Look at the amount of involvements again that he had in the final third, the amount of shots on goal. It's unequivocal for me. You have to keep playing him. And again, I felt it was a really positive performance from him, as it was Liverpool, which has been a great start to the season, 10 points out of 12.
You've been listening to the Post Game Podcast on the Blood Red Channel.